because I just finished working on this. Anyways, I have my wife back here, Tammy. She doesn't like public things, and so she might have a chance to answer some questions, and it's good to see family. Who do I not I recognize most of you, right? Because we went to church here for many years. And so I even know some of your names, and so that's a good thing. But we started coming to, Highland picked us up a couple years ago, and there we are. I am teaching at a seminary in Jos, Nigeria. Let's see if this goes here, kind of. Okay, so we're in West Africa. And then Tammy is teaching first grade at Hillcrest School. It's a missionary school. I went to school there when I was a kid, back in the day, and now she teaches first grade there, so we live there. So I just wanted to show you kind of where we were. SIM used to be Sudan Interior Mission, and it is now a worldwide mission organization. From the 1980s on, they started to incorporate other missions that were dying, and we had the structure and the vision to continue make it work. And so now in many parts of the world, we're known as serving in mission. And so here we are. Whoa. Let me get this right. Okay. And so here we are in Nigeria, right in West Africa. Tammy, my wife, was born in Kalamazoo, grew up in Portage, and her folks worked at Upjohn's. Her mom was an accountant, and her dad was a tech guy. She passed away a few years ago. So now everybody in the world knows about Pfizer, and so we can thank her parents for that. We met at Baptist College, which is now Cornerstone. I grew up in Liberia. My folks were SIM. My folks went to what is now Woodward Avenue Baptist Church, a GARB church, but he was a radio engineer. Baptist Missions did not have any need for a radio engineer. They had gone to Moody Bible Institute, so hence they found SIM, and that's how they got there. And so I grew up in Liberia along with my two brothers and sisters, and my sister, and then went to boarding school in Nigeria. And so that was my first introduction to Nigeria. We went out in the early 80s to Liberia to serve. And so here is our rock star picture. You can see little Jamie, and we're all a little bit older and taller. And then we spent part of 1992 in Nigeria. So we didn't really have time to fish out pictures, but this is Jamie and Ryan with some Fulani herders behind Kent Academy. And then we went back to Liberia. And then we took a leave of absence for several years. Tammy taught with the oral deaf program in Grand Rapids through the Grand Rapids Public Schools. We moved down to South Carolina in 2005 to where I took a job with the mission working in the archives, running the archives, and then she worked in the oral deaf program in the public schools in Charlotte for several years after that. So that's a little bit of her background. And then when I went down there, I worked in the archives, and I also taught about one class a year in African history, because that's what I know, right? I went to this wonderful school in East Lansing called, do we have any fans from East Lansing? Are you all Michigan fans? God, they're all Michigan fans, okay. Anyways, somebody's gotta be a Spartan fan, so it might, no Spartans here, come on. Okay, all right, go green. Anyway, so I took my degree there, and I had taught I did a few classes here in Grand Rapids at Aquinas, Cornerstone, Calvin, taught for 3 years at Grand Valley in the history department, and I even taught a few classes at Michigan State. But down in South Carolina, besides working in the archives, I taught about one class a year at the University of North Carolina in Charlotte. And for me, I'm working with Christians all the time, right? So let's get out in the world and do something useful. So for me, the most three fun hours of my week was teaching at the local university. So most of my teaching has been in public universities. While I was there, we came here in 2019. it did not occur to us 4 years ago that we would ever go back to Africa. I was involved, Tammy was teaching, I was involved in two books, and this is a picture of one of the books that we got published in 2018, and it started to free our minds up of what we could do. And so when I grew up in Liberia, there was a plaque on the wall from Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Now, this is from the King James Version, okay? This is not from any other version because my mother was King James, right? Schofield Bible and all the rest of it. But trust, you all know this, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And we saw that tonight in one of the songs that we saw. As Christians, we think we know what might be happening, but God has his ways of directing us in ways that we cannot even dream of, right? And so I don't know if I'll get through all of this tonight, because I know that when I'm teaching a university class, 13 minutes after 9, because I teach night classes, they're putting their computers down, and 9:15 they're out the door, so I get it, okay? So we will be out in time tonight. But that was kind of... God has led us very clearly and specifically in the last few years. In one instance, was just going back to Africa. We left for Africa from Charlotte 2 years ago tomorrow. Okay? And then, so here is some of our family here. We flew to Frankfurt and then down to Abuja, which is the capital city of Nigeria. And then you can see Abuja more clearly here. It's a five-hour ride to Jos, and then if I mention Zaria or Kano, it's about 5 more hours. Okay, so just to give you some perspective about that. This where we live on a plateau, so we welcome you to the plateau, and since we had lived in Nigeria for several years, we had lived there at different times in our life, we were able to celebrate our, it says 40th wedding anniversary, right, but maybe that's 30th, but anyways, it was the 40th anniversary we spent with several of our friends. And our sons would know some of the people in this picture. Nigeria is divided into 36 states, and so we're in Plateau State. And I just want to mention a couple things. One is there are about 500 ethnic groups with their own languages in Nigeria. Okay, so a few more than what we have here. And the dominant ones are the Hausa and the Fulani up in the north, and the Igbo in the southwest, southeast, and the Yoruba in the southwest. One thing that we've had lots of questions since we've been here, and one has just been Boko Haram. Everybody seems to know about Boko Haram. And they are way up in the northern part of the country here. And so we're down in the central part of the country. This is a famine early warning systems network. And you can see from May of 2021 to June to September of 21, we are in the stress zone. And that's because of banditry, farms getting burned up, and so forth. And I'm not going to be able to say some things that I need to just because of time. And I'm going to skip by these. This is Hillcrest where we live. This is a very bad panoramic shot, okay? So the bridge does not go like this, but you'll get the point. We live in a big compound. I don't know how many acres. There's a main road here, and there's a gate that you drive through. When parents come to drop off kids, there's a big parking lot here. There's residential housing. We live back here, and there is a... elementary, middle school, and high school, there are about 275 students. So Tammy is teaching first grade there with an assistant. And then there's a big track on the other side. We did not know what was coming on January 1st, 2020. At 7:40 in the morning and 21 seconds, this truck came down the road. You can see a person walking there, and the tire blew off. You see that? I was there waiting for that shot. Actually, it's from a camera. but it hit, you can see the tire here. It hit this post, And what if the pulse wouldn't have been there, there's a guard shack, because we have guards, and it would have crashed right into that guard shack. So we thank God. It hit the pulse right here, bounced across this barrier here and just kept on going. And there is the tire. And we thought that that was the worst of it. We didn't see COVID coming either, right? At least I didn't see it in January of 2020. We had a meeting in March of, and I'm doing the COVID thing because we get questions and it kind of ties in, and people are curious. We had a meeting in mid-March of 2020. And at the same, everybody was in mid-March, right? Things were kind of going crazy. You didn't know how bad or how good would it be, but we were doing worst case scenarios. So this is a meeting that we had of the expats. Are we gonna leave or are we gonna go? And we knew that the airlines would shut down eventually and that we would not be able to get out of the country. And then I called Jamie up and I said, hey, Jamie, what should we do? He said, don't come here. You know, because we only had like one case at the time. So don't come here, stay where you are. And so all of us ended up staying. There were some missionaries who left because they were supposed to leave in July, and there were some missionaries underlying health conditions, and a few other missionaries left. But that was an important time of kind of like, you know, what do we need to do? As God would have it, May 18, is Bruce here? Okay, Bruce DeClark, we don't see Bruce. Okay, so anyway, so he wrote on the behalf of you, okay? And this is from this morning. You know, I just went up there and took a picture of you guys from this morning, so I got the best side of some of you. But he wrote to all of us, of the missionaries, right, and probably other people on your behalf. And he just said, dear co-workers in Christ, we know these are challenging times. And then he put some verses out there about cast your cares on God, for he cares for you. And then down here, we are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, that was us, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. And then he said, we want you to be assured we are standing with you prayerfully and financially, and support whatever decision you will make as you think it is in your best interest and the interest of the family. And now Bruce had no idea what was going on. None of us did, right? But it was like a little bit of freedom for us, you know, just to know that people were prayed. And so we thank you for that. That was pretty cool. And when you know that a church body is behind you, right? You know, God is there, right? And he helps your decisions. And we thank you, all of you, for that. That was at a critical time. Corona came, they sealed off all the international borders, they sealed all the state borders, right? We could do that there, right? You want to go to Indiana? You want to go to, where are we? Ohio? Sorry, you're not going. So they really tried to limit the movement of people in the country. The air borders were closed from early April till mid-September. And so they were able to, that was one of several ways they were able to control it. This is the case studies in Nigeria now. You can see we peaked earlier this year. Liberia, I'm hoping to go to Liberia in a couple months to teach. And the Delta variant is really spiking there, and several people have died. We know of a couple people who passed away because of that. Tammy teaches first grade at Hillcrest. If you go to Google Earth, you will see the huge compound. There's a wall around the compound, and then there's a track there. We live in this house here. Tammy teaches right across. You can see the place where she lives. We have lots of beautiful trees, mangoes, and lots of fruit on the compound. We have several guards. We have gardeners. And we have maintenance people to take care of the grounds. This is where she teaches, and this is kind of standing in our front of where we live, and her classroom is, I think it's, I'm coming. Her classroom is right there, so she can see the classroom there. She has both first and second year, she had about 15 or 16 students. Most of them were Nigerians. One of her students was from the UK, one was from Sierra Leone. So it's a Christian school, but she has kids in the school who are not Christians. And so, you know, it's an opportunity for discipleship and also for growth. She has great fun. Like, she's the best first grade teacher ever. Look at this, right? Who has fun doing pumpkin things, right? It's been very good for her. She taught hearing impaired kids, so she had to retool a little bit. And then once Corona struck, she went on Seesaw? She had some platform where she was able to do teaching and Bible reading and interact with the kids. Their internet is not as good as ours, you know, so that was an issue that we had to deal with. She made packets for all the kids, because you can't just sign stuff to kids on first graders, right? You got to give them stuff. And so this is a photograph of her and the teachers welcoming parents and giving them packets, and they could talk to the parents of how the kids were doing and so forth. They set up the classroom so that the kids were separated. Good luck trying to social distance with first graders, but you give it a shot. You know, these are just some of the pictures that she has. She's a hard worker, so, you know, make a desk out of the bed, right? Or just, you know, find a place to sit and work. Every year we give out Bibles that we can buy locally, maybe $8, $9 to all the students. They'll go to the homes, and everybody and their cousin reads the Bible, right? They're nice picture Bibles. And so those are just another tool to advance the gospel. When we went there, I did language study for about 5 weeks, five hours up in Kano, and that was helpful. But I just, once you get back in Joss, you're teaching in an English seminary. It's like, yeah, so I need to do a little bit more of that. I teach at the Equa Theological Seminary in Joss. It's a seminary of the church that's related to SIM in Nigeria. So there's about 7, 8, 9 million believers that they count in Nigeria and beyond. And so it's huge. You can see standing on one edge of the campus, classrooms. There's a chapel back here. And then this picture here is kind of where that person is standing, and this is after chapel is being let out inside the chapel. And what I try to do is to give the students one or two books that I use and course packs. So everything that there's, number one, there's no excuse for not doing the assignments. But better yet, it helps them in their library so they can build up their library. And so it takes a bit of work to do that. But then we kind of roll from there. This was a pre-COVID class. They are graduate classes I was teaching church history at the time. And so this is pre-COVID, and then you could break up into groups. And then this is a COVID class where everybody was separated, windows were open. And as God would have it, just as I stood on a chair to take a picture of these guys, one of my students from the previous semester came in and greeted us. You know, so we greeted him and took his picture. Church history is big, and so you really have to pick and choose your topics. And so one of the topics that I picked on, you know, that I focused on was ethnicity. There are lots of deep-seated tensions among certain ethnic groups in Nigeria. And so we were able to go through the book of Acts and show how the early church bridged the divide between the Hebrew-speaking believers and the Jewish-speaking believers, right? And you read the book of Acts, and you can see that. And so we're always trying to make our teaching practical, right? So somebody can walk away and say, yeah, what we learn in class relates. Another one is persecution and martyrdom. I asked one of my classes of about 15, how many people do you know who were killed because they were Christians? Half of the class rose their hand. Right? I don't know anybody who was killed because they were Christians. So they're dealing with this stuff on a day-to-day basis. And so how did Polycarp or some of these folks deal with persecution? And these stories that have been preserved and translated in English are powerful. And this is the photograph of a young Christian girl, Leah, who was kidnapped a few years ago. We don't know anything about her, so the church is praying for her. And then this is a Christian talking to somebody who is not a Christian and just kind of promoting dialogue. Cyprian and Martin Luther, how did early Christians deal with plagues? I had no idea, right? And so I kind of did my homework, and I'm not thinking Martin Luther had a mask, but maybe he did, right? But what lessons can we learn? You know, he wrote a treatise on the responsibility of Christians in time of crisis. And so we were able to make that useful. Basil of Caesarea, outcast. This is a man who lived under a bridge. I wrote about him a little bit. He was beaten up. He almost died. We took him to a hospital. And this, you can ask me about the story later, but there is a gap in the church for taking care of and just ministering to people who are outcasts in society. This guy can speak easily to you, but people thought he was crazy, he was a spy, he was this, that he was demon-possessed and everything. And it takes time to get to know people. Missions. My students, this is 6th, 7th century Iranian missions to China. So a lot of work has been done on this. This is one of my students who started a ministry of the students of, there's housing at the seminary, and so he started a ministry on his own just to disciple the children at the school, the children of the parents. And then this is another man who started on his own a ministry with orphans. And these are just, they're busy people, but their life is mission and Christ focus. Nobody told them to do it. They just saw a need and they started to do it. So it's just challenging to me, right? And how can we use church history to encourage them? I did some work with the ECHO archives because I had done work like that before. The University of Jos, I've been wanting to teach there and they've asked me to actually teach something on Islam. And that's kind of my background here. And then also I've been able to get about 60 boxes of books shipped to Nigeria to the university because their library burned down a few years ago. And that's just good for them. I'm going to stop here just because I need to. There's some work that I've got a whole thing on daily life, which you'll have to come in part two next time, but just kind of where we eat and what we do and you know, just daily living. But one thing that has been fun is my background is history, and so SIM started in Nigeria in 1893, and two men went up into the interior and they died. So we have a diary from one of the men, Walter Gowans on the left, and we found the diary in the archives, and so I've been able to go to several of the places where these men went. All of these places, most of them are predominantly not Christian, right? And it's not like I'm sitting around trying to strategize to figure out where I can go. It's these people who died 125 years ago who are calling me to where they went. And so I've been able to meet with emirs, kings. I've been able to meet with scholars of other religions. And they have all been, one of the pictures that I'll, let me go there, right here. These two guys are not Christians. This guy is an ECHO pastor. And I take photographs of these men and where they were buried, and they are just shocked and amazed. They just can't believe that some white guy missionary came to their town over 125 years ago. I'm 63, I know you thought I was 62, but I'm 63, okay? Still, in another month that might change. Many of the men who are my age went to missionary schools, either Anglican usually or Catholic schools. And so they are well-versed in Christianity. And for me to come and to tell the story of how SIM started, which includes the gospel message, it's like an open season, right? I can, you know, you're sharing the gospel because of what? History, because of something that happened. We met one man, and I'll close with this, who he is not a Christian outwardly, but when I showed him the picture and I told him the story, he was in tears, right? And so I was with a firebrand evangelist, and we left that meeting, and he said, that guy actually might be a secret believer, right? I would not guess that, right? So even when you're doing research, right, you are going to places where you know, you can be a testimony there. I'm going to stop here because I need to. Do you have any questions? I've told you all I know, so if you don't have any questions, but I encourage you if you have any questions. Yes, I see one, Dave.
What's the predominant language?
English is the lingua, is the national language because the British colonized the place. But you have Hausa and Fulani up in the north, and there are millions across West Africa, and then as you go down to the southwest, it's Yoruba, and then if you go to the southeast, it's Igbo. And on the plateau where we live, 250 languages. Okay, we're not going to run away afterwards. We thank you very much for your prayer. We thank you for support. We came to the States early June, and we are leaving at the end of July. Like this July, not like next July, right? And so it's been pretty crazy stuff, right? We have Tammy has signed another 2-year contract, so we plan on being on the field for another couple years. Her deal was, I'm happy to go to Africa, let me come back once a year to see my family, right? That didn't quite work out last June, like nobody was going anywhere, but then everybody was kind of stuck, right? And so hopefully she'll be back here next June, but we've had several people just this morning thank us, and they've been reading and reading our stuff, and sometimes it's too long, I get it. And people have been telling us they've been praying for us. You guys are a special group. I will do the same thing in Iowa next week. We have 2 supporting churches than everyone else. You know, it's individuals, you know, otherwise. So I'm going to turn it back to whoever wants this. So thank you. Thank you very much.